And welcome back, Champ Home Show, here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Hour number two of the program here on this Thursday, getting closer and closer to the weekend. Also, don't forget, some of you folks, I'm sure, heading over to Green Bay tonight. Thursday night football, the Packers taking on Tennessee. I think the advice, layer up as another chilly day here in central Wisconsin. To find out the details on what to expect tonight and as we get towards the weekend, we're joined from Weatherology by meteorologist Ray Miller. Ray, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. You mentioned the football game. Be a pretty typical Lambeau night tonight, I think, with some snow showers and some chilly temperatures out that way. And we've got our own chance of snow showers here as well. We'll see some lingering light snow showers and flurries. Not looking for anything in the way of accumulation, but cool temperatures continue. Highs only in the mid-20s. Winds out of the west at 5 to 10. Some patchy snow showers tonight with temperatures dipping back to around 20 degrees and west winds at 5 to 15. Flurries early in the day Friday, otherwise cloudy. Highs in the low 20s. Saturday, mainly cloudy with a couple of snow showers. High near 20 degrees. Sunday, partly cloudy with high temperatures in the mid-20s. And for Monday, partly cloudy skies. A little bit warmer. High temperatures near 30. In the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller.
And Ray, when we hear the forecast with some chilly weather, chillier than normal and a little bit of snow, you can tend to get a little annoyed with it until you hear what's going on in upstate New York. I imagine you've heard about some of the snow that's expected over there as a weather person.
we have a couple of radio clients in that area, so it's been quite a bit of excitement updating them today. Some areas in and around Buffalo, perhaps looking at 6 feet of snow. Very fortunate we don't have to deal with that here.
Unbelievable. I just hope that we don't even come anywhere within a sixth of that anytime soon. Sometime during the winter, I'm sure we will, get those big snowstorms. But man, oh man, you shiver for the cold.
6 feet of snow would be about our seasonal average.
Oh man, you shiver with the temperatures and you shiver thinking about 6 feet of snow. I mean, just amazing. But
absolutely.
I'm glad we don't have to talk to you about that. But thanks for the information and we'll talk again tomorrow.
I'll see you then.
Right now in Wausau, not snow like they're getting in upstate New York, but very light snow, very, very light snow as I look outside our window here at our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. Very light snow, temperature of 25 degrees. The wind's 14 miles per hour, so that means the wind chill. Yeesh. 17th of November, wind chill of 13 degrees. The dew point is 17, relative humidity of 72%, the barometer at 29.90 inches, and a visibility of 5 miles. Again, I'm not disappointed. I am going to avoid sitting in the crowd at Lambeau Field tonight. Back when I was much younger, I would once in a while get to a Packer game. I haven't done that in quite a while. But back during the magic year, remember Don Majkowski back in 1989, great season for the Packers. The year before they were 4-12 and they turned it around, finished 10-6. Really an exciting year, lots of thrilling wins. Second in the MVP voting was Don Majkowski. Me and a friend of mine from school were able to get a couple of tickets to see the Packers in their final regular season home game. Their final home game, it turned out, of the 1989 season in December, taking on Kansas City. It was cold. I don't know exactly what the temperature was. I should look it up. But it was incredibly cold that day. I still remember the first thing that goes is the feet. The feet that start to freeze up and the rest of your body freeze up as well. And something I remember as well, I don't know if it's still the same nowadays as it was in 1989, but there would be rivers of beer and other beverages that would just go down the steps. And on a cold day, you don't want to be walking through that. But it was just miserable. And the thing was as well, Packers only scored 3 points in the game. They lost, I think, 21-3 that day. So there wasn't a lot to cheer about, not a lot to keep you warm. But bottom line is, I would rather go to a preseason game. Yeah, it's preseason as opposed to regular season. But you know if you go in either August or early September, it's going to be warm enough. Even on a cold day for that time of year, it's still going to be plenty warm enough. I have no desire, and especially at night. I mean, as I said in the first hour, these night games now that they play in Green Bay, they didn't used to do that. You never see a game in Chicago or in Green Bay or in Buffalo in November or December because it was just, it's too cold. But nowadays, the networks love having the visuals of the breath in the air and the snow coming down. They love it. It means higher ratings. So, hey, forget about the fans who have to sit through it at 8, 9, 10 o'clock on a November or a December night. But, again, if you're heading to Green Bay, see the Packers take on the Tennessee Titans, make sure you bundle up tonight. We got to take a break. And, again, thanks to John Robinson for joining us, Marathon County Board Supervisor. I feel always a little bit smarter when I talk to John because there's so much I don't know about budgetary processes or about what they do on the Marathon County Board. But again, I think he is able to explain things and he knows it so very well. I want to talk a little bit about priorities. And I asked John about, you know, budget priorities, priorities for an area. And we're going to talk about that coming up as we continue here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 WXCO.
So wonderful, a miracle. Oh, it was beautiful, magical. And all the birds in the trees, well, they'd be singing so happily, oh, joyfully, oh, playfully, watching me. But then they sent me away to teach me how to be sensible.
On Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. 316 here on this Thursday afternoon. Light snow falls, 26 degrees is the temperature. In the last segment, when we talked to our meteorologist, Ray Miller, mentioned the fact they are expecting so much snow in upstate New York, just south of Buffalo. The NFL, just in the last couple of moments, in fact, about 2 minutes ago, I saw it posted that the NFL officially is moving the Browns-Bills game scheduled for Sunday in Buffalo out of Buffalo. They just don't think that you'll be able to do it with the incredible amount of snow that's expected. The game has been moved to Ford Field in Detroit, where it will be played Sunday at 4:15 p.m., that means that the Buffalo Bills will play two straight games in Detroit against Cleveland on Sunday, and then they can take on the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving. So actually, it works out pretty well as can be expected for the Buffalo Bills, but they do lose that home game. It's going to be interesting. How many folks in Detroit are going to show up to watch the Cleveland Browns and the Buffalo Bills? Maybe there'll be a big crowd. Not used to seeing great football in Detroit in recent years, but a bonus game for the folks in the Motor City at Ford Field on Sunday with the Bills and the Cleveland Browns. Again, we spent most of the last hour talking to a Marathon County Board Supervisor, John Robinson, after the Marathon County Board of Supervisors last Thursday overwhelmingly rejected some proposals to eliminate funding for five nonprofits and were able to pass their 2023 budget of just over $221 million. In fact, just over $221.5 million. John explained a lot of the issues, and I didn't want to push him in terms of talking about some of the folks on the board that were pushing for some of these, I would call them draconian cuts in areas and in programs that provide so much benefit for the community. But as I asked John right pretty early in our conversation, when you look at budgets, and I said it, whether it's your family budget or whether it's a governmental agency budget, where you spend, where you increase spending, where you cut spending, it says a lot about priorities. It says a lot about what you want your area to be. And when I'm talking about a governmental agency, what do the members of the Marathon County Board want Marathon County to be? And the Marathon County budget and the Board of Supervisors who deal with it, different areas than, say, the City of Wausau budget and other municipalities around central Wisconsin. But at the same time, it was exceptionally interesting that over Wednesday and Thursday, Wednesday the committee meeting and then Thursday the entire board meeting on the budget, had the supervisors who wanted to not just cut but eliminate funding for five very important nonprofits that have been funded and also contractually tied to Marathon County for their services. Those five organizations included the women's community, Judicare Mediation Services, United Way 211, the Marathon County Historical Society, and the North Central Community Action Program. And they had people come to the board, and they had people come and talk to the board, and they requested that the board continue with their partnership. But you saw certain supervisors, I think one of the leading voices in terms of cutting those nonprofits and in other areas as well, was Supervisor Chris Dickinson. He proposed the elimination of funding for the five nonprofits and also cuts to other departments. He defended the debate on this, saying that the budget discussion is the right time to debate such issues, when Supervisor Allison Leahy had criticized what she termed the annual occurrence of these types of proposals during budget discussions. She said the proper time and place for such discussions are in the standing committee meetings, not during the budget adoption time. Another supervisor said that the value of the standing committees is being eroded because of the discussions on the budget adoption day. And the thing about it as well, Dickinson, who proposed the elimination of funding for those five nonprofits, he was told that the county had signed contracts, and that's an issue. And he said he hadn't thought about that, did not think about that. Well, maybe before you just come out and propose cutting funding to five very important organizations that provide incredibly important aspects to people's lives. I mean, these people give services to people that need them the most. Well, Chris Dickinson, before you propose the elimination of funding for those five nonprofits that would gut them, maybe you should be up to speed on all the issues involved in it. Saying that signed contracts are an issue, and he had not thought about that. He and a few others reiterated that government should not fund nonprofits. The point I want to make here, and as I said earlier, what do you want your area to be? Somebody like Dickinson and others who propose that the county get out of funding in any way the women's community. I mean, the women's community does so much in terms of aiding families, not just women, but families in central Wisconsin. If you take all of that away, if you eliminate these organizations, I mean, the idea is that, you know, we won't fund it, but somebody else will. I've said it before, one of the aspects of the recently concluded campaign, and also what we will see in the next 2 years, probably even worse, is the obscene amount of spending by third parties on political commercials and political flyers and political campaigning generally. Somebody like the Eline family and Diane Hendricks, the CEO of ABC Supply, the two biggest funders of Senator Ron Johnson, not just this year, but for many, many years, that instead of putting their money into organizations like the women's community or their local historical society or a community action program that would actually help people's lives, that would make their lives better, those people give obscene amounts of money to put on commercials that darken the skin color of the opposing candidate. If those kind of people funded important nonprofit agencies, gave donations to these agencies, then maybe somebody like Supervisor Chris Dickinson would have a point that government should not be in the business of funding nonprofits. But government is also in the business of trying to make their communities better places to live so talented people will want to live here. If you have a young professional, whether married or unmarried, that has an opportunity to move to Central Wisconsin for a job, has a choice between Central Wisconsin and somewhere else, they will look at what does the community offer? What does the community offer in terms of schools? What does the community offer in terms of entertainment, arts? What does the community offer in terms of those nonprofit organizations that help people in their time of need and makes this area a better place to live? So again, that's one reason I wanted John Robinson to come on here, is to talk about the budget and talk about what the priorities are. And I was glad to hear when I asked him very early in the discussion, talking about the fact that they are prioritizing the employees. They are prioritizing the people that work for the county and in the county. That there were way too many jobs open because they were not competitive with the competition for these people. So again, priorities. It has to be priorities, because there, and I said to John, I said, I use the term trickle down. I hate using that term because trickle down has been such a failed economic policy since 1980, but there is a trickle down effect. There is a layered effect. When you have better schools, you have better business because you have better workers. We have better workers, you have more tax revenue coming in because you have talented workers who probably make a good living spending their money here in Central Wisconsin. You lose those people, you lose tax revenue, you lose the ability to fund important parts of the budget. And instead of increasing budgets for roads, you have to cut budgets for roads. So again, it's a big circle. And that's what John Roberts said, big circle that goes round and round and round. You try to cut, and he talked about the six-year cycle in terms of the funding mechanism. You love to hear, you know, he's talking about, you know, having a long-term plan to like 2050 for the roads in Central Wisconsin, in Marathon County. Vital, vital. You have to have long-term plans. And sometimes when you see these supervisors who want to cut, what do these supervisors, again, Supervisor Chris Dickinson, propose elimination of funding for those five nonprofits and cuts to other departments? What is the big picture for somebody like Chris Dickinson? Is it just strictly about what the numerals are on that budget when it's passed last Thursday night? I don't know. What kind of communities does he want here in Marathon County? I talked about it last week after the referenda. School referenda in Merrill, in Athens, in Stratford all failed. What does that say about those communities? What kind of communities do they want when they won't fund their schools? And the school funding issue started with Republicans in the state legislature and Governor Scott Walker that stopped funding at the same levels education. Stopped funding shared revenue for these local communities. So again, there's so many layers to it. But it comes down to priorities. What are the priorities for your communities? Do you want to have schools and businesses and roads that people want to deal with? Because you have, when people have choices, you have to sell them on it. We got to take a break. We're going to find out what's going on in the news, of some big news, as Nancy Pelosi will not be the Democratic leader in the next Congress. Looks as though the Republicans have taken control of the U.S. Congress in a very narrow way. But we'll get the latest news headlines coming up, and then we'll come back with more. Again, it's a Thursday afternoon. I am Chad Holmes. Glad you could join me each and every weekday until 4 p.m. Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com and mobile devices. And stick around after 4 o'clock, of course, Devil's Advocates. Mike and Dom will have their views on the issues of the day as well.
I've been looking for the map that leads me home. I've been stumbling on good hearts turned to stone. The road of good intentions is gone dry as a bone. We take care of our own. We take care of our own. Wherever this flag's flown, we take care of our own. From Chicago to New Orleans, from the muscle to the bone.
Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 at 1230. BullFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. One of the many things I love about Bruce Springsteen, he treats people exceptionally well. You look at some stories that people have told about the boss. Always treats people with the ultimate respect. I also love the fact that when Barack Obama was running for re-election 10 years ago in 2012, this was the song that Barack Obama would walk on stage to during his campaign. One of the, I think, great campaign speeches, the one that I went back and watched recently, was Obama's final campaign appearance in the 2012 campaign. He returned to Iowa because that's where it all began, when he won the Iowa caucuses in 2008. Holding off the upset that launched him to the Democratic nomination and then the White House. In that final appearance in Iowa, one of the people that came to Iowa as well singing this very song was Bruce Springsteen. It was just chills. And even watching it many years later, still got chills watching it. The boss was in Madison, I know, for a campaign appearance with Barack Obama during that campaign as well. I knew people that were there. It's always fun to hear the boss talk about Born in the USA, a song that guys like Reagan and other Republicans would use, not understanding the true meaning of the song. Take care of our own. Bruce Springsteen. Chad Holmes with you until 4 o'clock. Devil's Advocates coming up after that from 4 till 6. I have high school girls basketball tonight. The Marathon Red Raiders, who earned a season-opening win on Tuesday. Tough one tonight. Take on an Auburndale team expected to battle for the championship in the Marrowood South. So Marathon hosting Auburndale, 7 o'clock pregame, 7:15 opening tip. Right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. If you are a fan of Marathon, Wausau West, Newman Catholic High School sports, we have all three of those schools still on our airwaves during the winter sports season. If you want to know what our upcoming broadcast schedule is for the next couple of weeks, we have the next 2 weeks posted at our website, bullfallsradio.com/sports. Or just go to bullfallsradio.com and click on sports. But if you go to bullfallsradio.com/sports, and you can get our previous broadcasts of those schools, our previous broadcast of the Big High School Sports Show. Hope you were with us last night for the Big High School Sports Show. And you can also see our upcoming broadcast schedule, all at bullfallsradio.com/sports. Well, it's been, 9 days since Ron Johnson was reelected as the senator, senior senator from the state of Wisconsin. Ron, after the election, got on his private plane, headed to his home in Florida for a week, came back yesterday, tried to push through Senator Rick Scott as the new Republican leader, showing the great political skills that Rojo has done for the last 12 years. Scott was run over by Mitch McConnell, who remains the Republican leader in the Senate. And today, Ron got back to work. There was a hearing with the FBI director, Christopher Wray, and Ron Johnson doing what Ron Johnson does, which is make a fool of himself in public. Johnson, in one of his first Senate hearings since his reelection, complained today to FBI director Christopher Wray that an August 2020 defensive intelligence briefing for himself and Senator Chuck Grassley was to smear him. He knew immediately it was a setup. It was a intelligence briefing to tell Ron Johnson that the Russians were trying to use him as a stooge. But here is our eminent senior senator from the state of Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, talking to the FBI director earlier today.
The reason I'm a little sensitive on August 2020 is that on August 6th, both Senator Grassley and I received an unsolicited briefing by members of the FBI, which I knew immediately was a setup. No new information whatsoever. I knew it was a setup, and I was correct because 9 months later, on May 1st, it was leaked to the Washington Post to smear me. I have written you publicly a number of times asking who directed that briefing. Are you prepared to tell me in public who directed that briefing now?
Senator, first off, I can't discuss specific defensive briefings more broadly, and that's a longstanding practice.
So tell me then, why have you refused to meet with us to privately tell us who directed that briefing?
So if I may finish my answer to the question, it's longstanding practice not to discuss specific defensive briefings. We have, as my understanding, responded in writing to a letter that you sent, I think.
It's bureaucratic gobbledygook is what that is. That's not a response.
We offered in that letter to provide a senior executive of the FBI to walk through in detail our process.
What your process is, but not specifically who directed a briefing that was used to smear me. Have you looked into the leaking of that briefing to the Washington Post? Have you investigated that?
I'm not going to discuss specific investigations. As to the briefing question and who directs it, let me be very clear about this. When it comes to election-related defensive briefings, there is not a single person who makes that decision. That is an interagency process that was set up by the prior administration, signed off on by the former president, Office of the Director of National
Intelligence. There are persons in that interagency, correct? So there would be persons. So we should know who those persons are. Why won't you tell us who directed that briefing? The persons, then.
I would refer you to the process that was put in place, and we can give you more information about the process if you would like.
Ron Johnson, again, is a clown. And the most depressing aspect of what happened last week is we have 6 more years of this guy who went to Russia on July the 4th, has been an apologist for Putin ever since then. And he's all upset because the FBI gave him a briefing that said, hey, the Russians are using you as a stooge. I mean, I don't know. The idea of sitting here and listening to Ron Johnson be a clown in the United States Senate for 6 more years is almost too much to take. I mean, it's so depressing to think that Ron Johnson, 6 more years, and the guy has, last segment, I talked about priorities. What have Ron Johnson's priorities been, and what are Ron Johnson's priorities going to be? Well, we know what Ron Johnson's priorities have been. It's getting huge tax breaks to the Eline family and to Diane Hendricks for helping fund his campaigns, for giving him millions and millions of dollars to keep getting reelected. And then he throws in line items in tax policy to get them multiple times the amount they put in. You scratch Ron Johnson's back, he will scratch yours. What are Ron Johnson's priorities going to be in the future? Well, I think we know what Ron Johnson's... Well, he gave us a little hint here today. During that same hearing with FBI Director Christopher Wray today, Ron Johnson grills Mr. Wray about Hunter Biden.
I take compliance with all of our other rules very seriously. Uh-huh.
Senator Grassley wrote you a letter on July 25th of 2020 in which he said that whistleblowers to his office reported that FBI officials initiated a scheme to downplay derogatory information on Hunter Biden for the purpose of shutting down investigatory activity related to his potential criminal exposure by labeling it, quote, disinformation. Boy, that's a familiar term. That scheme was hatched in August of 2020. also included, he said, in August 2020, FBI supervisory intelligence analyst Brian Auten opened an assessment which was used by FBI headquarters team to improperly discredit negative Hunter Biden information as disinformation and cause investigative activity to cease. Have you responded to Senator Grassley's letter that he wrote over 3 months ago?
Senator, I know there have been a whole slew of letters. I believe we've responded to a number of them, but I'm sitting here right now. I can't tell you which ones
you have not
responded to. Which ones?
Have you looked into those charges that there was a scheme hatched in August 2020 to downplay the derogatory information on Hunter Biden? Have you looked into that personally?
We have, as we speak, a number of personnel matters that are underway, and for reasons I'm sure you can appreciate, we can't discuss.
I know that's always your excuse. Matters. No, I got it. I understand how you remain above the law by using that excuse repeatedly.
He is such a clown. I mean, this guy is the worst. He is the worst senator in Washington. Number one, a clown, and even his colleagues. I mean, his closest buddy is 89-year-old Chuck Grassley, who doesn't know any better at this point. Ron Johnson couldn't give a darn about the dozens and dozens and dozens while in office laws that Donald Trump broke, and he's going to go after Hunter Biden for the next couple of years. That's what he's going to do. He's not going to do anything to help the people of Wisconsin. He's going to be plowing ahead on Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden. I mean, give me a break. 9 days after he's reelected, and boy, it's depressing to think that we have to go through six more years of this clown who just weeks ago said that January 6th was not an armed insurrection. All those patriots there, how he was not afraid because they were a bunch of Trump supporters, but if they were Black Lives Matter supporters, he would have been scared witless. We have Tammy Baldwin who gets stuff done. And we got Ron Johnson, who's a clown. Also, Ron Johnson, of course, is the hero for our newest state senator. On his campaign website, Corey Tomchek talked about how much he loves Ron Johnson. Yeehaw! We get Ron Johnson, and then statewide here for Central Wisconsin, we get Corey Tomchek. Kind of depressing. Depressing to say the least. So just wanted to let you know what Ron Johnson's been up to now as he's, you know, after the election, after his, you know, classy election as always. Ron Johnson back to work. Yep, back to work. Got to take a break. We got one more segment to go. We're going to talk about, take our little history lesson. What famous events have occurred on this date in history? We'll have that coming up as we continue here. Chad Holmes Show. It is 3:47. Again, a chilly day. If you're going out, heading to Lambeau Field tonight, make sure you bundle up because you're going to expect some snow flurries, cold temperatures, wind chill factor right now, 13 degrees above zero. 25 degrees is the temperature here at our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. We got more to come here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. home show. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. With you until 4 o'clock, then the Devil's Advocates coming up from 4 till 6. And don't forget, again, we have high school girls basketball tonight. The Marathon Red Raiders looking for a second straight win to open up their season, taking on the Auburndale Eagles. I'll be at Marathon High School. Pre-game show at 7 o'clock and the opening tip at 7:15 right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Well, today is the 17th day of November, 2022. Taking a look at some of the famous events that occurred on this date in history. In 1970, Douglas Engelbart received the patent for the first computer mouse. In 1996, a Tampa, Florida packaging distributor, introduced Biofoam, a new grain-based packing peanut more environmentally friendly than styrofoam peanuts. Biofoam, which smells like popcorn, was originally developed as a snack food, but it did not sell. On this date in 1998, the public heard Monica Lewinsky's voice for the first time as the House Judiciary Committee released 22 hours of recordings secretly made by Linda Tripp. 2003, hard to believe, it's been 19 years since Arnold Schwarzenegger was inaugurated as governor of California. On this date, 1 year after that, in 2004, Kmart, you remember Kmart? Kmart announced it was buying Sears Roebuck and Company for $11 billion. On this date in 2008, the worldwide box office total for The Dark Knight reached the $1 billion mark. On this date in 2013, a rare late-season tornado outbreak struck the Midwest. Illinois and Indiana were most affected, with tornado reports as far north as Lower Michigan. In all, around six dozen tornadoes touched down in approximately an 11-hour time period, including seven EF3 and two EF4 tornadoes. On this date in 2015, Charlie Sheen confirmed that he was HIV positive. And on this date, 1 year ago, in 2021, January 6th Capitol rioter QAnon shaman Jacob Chansley was sentenced to 3 years in prison by a federal court. One of those great law-abiding citizens, nonviolent, that Ron Johnson keeps talking about. Some famous people that are celebrating their birthdays today. Director Martin Scorsese is 80 years old today. Actress and model Lauren Hutton is 79. Saturday Night Live producer Lorne Michaels turned 78. Danny DeVito, actor, director, probably best known as Louis on Taxi, is 78 years old today. Actor Stephen Root, he was a star of News Radio, also one of the voices on King of the Hill, 71 years old today. RuPaul turned 62. Daisy Fuentes, former MTV VJ, I think one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. Daisy Fuentes, right now Mrs. Richard Marx, she turns 56 years old today. Actress Leslie Bibb, Christine Everhart in the Iron Man movies, is 49 years old today. And actress Rachel McAdams from The Notebook and Wedding Crashers turns 44 years old today. If you are celebrating your birthday here on the 17th of November, happy birthday to you from all of us here at Bow Falls Radio, WXCO. Some special events being celebrated today. If you're a smoker, today's the day, the Great American Smokeout, so time to quit. Also, it is Homemade Bread Day, Guinness World Records Day, Butter Day. It is always Butter Day. It is Rural Health Day. Also, Take a Hike Day, Unfriend Day. Somebody you want to unfriend, today is the day. It is Use Less Stuff Day, and it is also World Peace Day. So those are some of the special events being celebrated today. Our number for the day is 88. That is the number of gallons of water used each day by the average American household. So 88 gallons of water every single day used by the average American household. Wow. Did not know that. And that's pretty much it tonight. And I found it interesting during our news update at the bottom of the hour. I wasn't sure about this, but again, if you are looking for the Packers tonight, here in Wausau, can't watch them on TV. I would not be able to watch them on TV. I don't have Amazon Prime. But Thursday Night Football, only on Amazon Prime, part of the contract, the home market of the team. And for the Packers, they actually have two home markets, Green Bay and Milwaukee. That means a station in Green Bay and a station in Milwaukee can both be able to broadcast the game. But nowhere else in Wisconsin. So if you're elsewhere in Wisconsin, cannot get either a Green Bay or a Milwaukee television station, you have to get Amazon Prime. If you don't, too bad. Listen to the radio. I think that's always a good idea. Listen to the radio. But don't just get Amazon Prime because you want to watch tonight's game. Don't let the money grab succeed for the NFL. But again, no, you can have enough fun tonight by tuning in to here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 12:30 for Marathon Girls Basketball against Auburndale starting at 7 o'clock tonight. Thanks again to our guest earlier in the program, John Robinson, Marathon County Board Supervisor. Again, great stuff from John Robinson concerning the Marathon County budget that was passed a week ago. Thanks to John again for providing the information. And again, thanks to you for joining us. I'll be back tomorrow again from 2 until 4 p.m. for the Chad Holmes Show. Stick around. Coming up next, it is the Devil's Advocates. That's straight ahead here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO.